Okay, Brian, you're on, buddy. I lost your intro music, so.
It's the thought that counts.
There you go.
Ahoy, Vachon, or as the French say, Vachon. I'm Brian Brown, and this is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less. Coming to you on Voice of Vachon, our call letters are KVSH, that's Kavish, not Kvetch, on 101.9 on your FM dial. It's Tuesday. It's a beautiful Tuesday. I'm pretending it's not global warming. It's a beautiful Tuesday. It's the 19th of April, the year 2016. We're broadcasting live from our state-of-the-art studio in downtown Vachon, directly across from the Saucy Sisters. With me in the studio today is my sound engineer, Truman O'Brien.
Good morning.
And he is not named after Harry Truman.
Yeah, potentially not.
You know, you're the only Truman I ever met.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've met two others.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I got a story for you.
Okay.
I was in the little airport in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and this woman came running up to me, and she said, "Are you the O'Briens?" And we said, "Yeah." She was from Delta Airlines. And she said, "You're Truman O'Brien?" I said, "Yeah." She said, my cousin's name is Truman O'Brien. How about that?
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
His name is actually Michael Truman, but he went by Truman the whole time. That's the only other one I've ever heard of. Isn't that something?
Excellent.
Yeah. How about that? So anyway, go ahead with your other introductions there, Brian. Sorry.
I was the only Brian Brown in the New York phone directory sometime in the 70s.
No.
And then the phone started ringing off the hook. It was a guy, Dr. Brian Brown, and I think he was involved in the drug trade because I was getting calls at all hours of the evening, but that enough notoriety.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, back to the studio. In attendance today, we have the effervescent and incandescent Roxy Hathaway. Roxy?
Hello, everybody.
Someday I want to cast a Western, and then I'll be able to say, and I'll put you in the lead, and then I'll be able to say, Hathaway went that away.
I'm like a cowgirl it. Out in the car. I could do it.
There you go.
Rounding out our first responders is the multi-talented, peripatetic Will Forrester. A.K.A. the Green Man.
Peripatetic.
I know. What does it mean?
I thought I was perspicacious.
You're definitely peripatetic. I see you all over town, sometimes on a bike, sometimes walking, other times in a car.
Mm.
And
Hey, what I want to know is which Harry Truman is Truman not named after, the president or Mount St. Helens?
Or the one that went under, say, it had to be the president because, well, I don't know. Actually, Harry was pretty old. Harry Truman, the mountain fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in his 80s, I think, when the mountain blew. Yeah. Yeah, so I could have been named after him, but I wasn't.
I was thinking politically, Will, but thank you for that insight.
Yeah, we can't forget about him.
Historic
family name.
And Will, you are the Will that's in the newspaper, right? Is that the same
No.
Guy? No, it's not that one? No.
I've never met him.
No, it's a different one, though.
I'm in the forest, he's north.
Really? Interesting. I thought it was the same guy.
Yeah. Unless there's another Will. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
There's a million stories on this
island.
There are. We can't tell all of them, though.
Hey, did any of you see the King County lifespan chart in the Sunday's Seattle Times?
No.
Miss it.
Well, it turns... did you see it,
John? No, no.
I'm the only person that reads anything. I'm
well,
old,
that's
I'm
good, because you're
I'm
in charge.
News, I'm an old news junkie.
There you go.
Yeah. they did this thing, longevity chart, and it turns out, wouldn't you know, that Vachon Island, we live longer. 84 years is the medium top-off point here.
Really? Wow. On
yeah.
Vachon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Older than who? Everybody?
Well, they did the state.
State of Washington.
We also, I mean, compare us to West Seattle, which is 78. So what happens on that trip over?
To tack on 6 extra years?
Yeah, you must go through a time warp or something.
I want to know, did they cover Fremont, though? What's that's, Fremont got?
Yeah.
Good question. I'll have to go back. They have it all color-coded, so we could check this out.
Interesting.
Well, because we just have a couple of interns coming out to our farm from Fremont, so maybe in the time that they intern with us, they'll gain a week or two in their life.
There you go.
That's added benefit.
You suppose it's the arsenic in the soil?
I don't know.
It
could be.
It could be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are you getting arsenic in your plants? I mean, no.
Yeah, we're okay on that count. We had a test. Okay. We had a test.
Okay. Is there any arsenic left on the island? I thought everybody got tested and people are okay.
Yeah. Well, I think there's still some in the soil.
Yeah.
I always assume that's why there's so much more forest to the south.
Oh.
Is that
less gardening?
Yeah.
Less gardening, more
less
forest.
Gardening.
Yeah, that could be.
Good idea.
That could be.
Could be.
Yeah, but don't forget, West Seattle may have 6 years less, but they have two big, impressive swimming pools over there, and they have Chief South on Southwest Thistle.
Well, yeah, but they need things because they won't be with us for a long time.
I might kick it tomorrow.
It's stressful just thinking about it. You know?
Having brought this up, I may be gone tomorrow.
That's right.
Well, I'm crediting. I took the Kathy Abascal diet.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So I'm crediting the Abascal diet. Mm. And any of you take the Abascal?
Yeah, yeah. No, I did it twice.
Do you see?
Oh, it's great. It's wonderful.
So this is the second free commercial I've done on our nonprofit program.
Well, I got a third.
It's a commercial for health.
I got a third coming up. You just give me the moment.
Uh-oh, look out.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
All right.
Go ahead.
Might have
ahead.
To be another program, you guys.
Anyway.
But Brian, I did not know you actually are on the Abascal diet.
I'm finished. I'm a graduate.
You're a graduate.
Can't you tell?
Did you backslide?
There were moments.
Yeah.
There were moments.
You don't have to sign anything saying you won't backslide.
No. But I mean, we're all human.
Did you feel the
human?
Did
Truman.
You feel new zest where you didn't have it before?
Oh,
occasionally. and I had trouble tracking it, but you get the essence of it. Yeah. Did you find it was good?
I found it was fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, I felt way better. Lost weight slowly. And yeah, I thought it was just really good just to have the awareness of, well, I'm not going to go into the whole program, but you know, it's like less protein, more fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
So I just think of that still today, just load up that plate with fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. Huh. We kill inflammation while we're sitting here. Inflammation.
Anti-inflammatory diet.
There you go.
Okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was such a dolt. I'm sitting here going, what are these guys talking about?
No. We'll educate you.
Anti-inflammatory. Okay, I got it now. Yeah. I know what it is now. Go ahead.
Anti-inflammatory. Okay.
Well, I didn't do Kathy Abascal diet, but I'm doing the Jasper Forrester diet.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah. And
what does that mean?
It's my wife.
I know.
Yes. And we run Green Man Farm, so
right.
we
so
get all
just eat
our,
all your own food, is what you're saying.
Well, we had... with our new intern last night, we sat down and had some curried rice with all our own vegetables. And Jasper always plays guess the vegetables from the farm. It's sunchokes, carrots. But you know what? I'm not saying anything that maybe the majority of all our multitude of listeners also participate.
Especially on the island.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Could be. So, but I want to go back on this. After I gave the free plug to Kathy Abascal, I realized that I had given one to Cliff's beer.
Yeah, that's
the other
right.
day.
Last week. Yeah.
And I was thinking, I told Cliff he owes me a growler.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking, if I take the growler,
yes.
That's payola.
Oh, you're right, and you can't do that.
Yeah. Do you remember payola?
Oh, yeah. But listen, seriously, the FCC would get you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Payola.
You guys remember payola? You're going to have to go back onto the Kathy Abascal diet again.
It's a vicious circle. Do you remember the payola?
Am I too young?
Disc jockeys would plug a song, and they were getting money from...
Yeah.
And under the table, it was a huge scandal in the 60s.
Yeah. And you know, truly, I mean, I know we're getting here, but honestly, on the FCC does regulate our station here, and we have to be very careful about plugging that kind of stuff. But But everybody knows you're kidding, so it's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. We know that you're not getting payola for this or getting free beer from Cliff. But, and it's a local custom, you know. It's okay. Okay.
But I'm not going to. So when Cliff gives me the growl, I'm just going to refuse it.
Yes, you have to.
I have to.
You have to give it to me instead.
Yeah. So.
No, I'm kidding. Though, Will, I do have to make one comment. Well, you know, you were talking about the fresh vegetables and all. My wife and I have a great story about 3 or 4 years ago, longer than that. She went out to our garden and gathered a bunch of vegetables, and we went out on our boat, and we're on anchored out a little island down in South Sound, and we put this in a tinfoil. Listen to me, I'm 1940s, in aluminum foil, and a little garlic and a little herbs and a little white wine and butter, and we put that on the barbecue. In about 15 minutes, this kayak came just like a cruise missile. He's following his nose. You can just see him. And he comes up and he said, "This is where that aroma's coming from. What are you cooking?" And it was just vegetables out of the garden. It was wonderful.
Amen.
Yeah. Did you invite him for dinner?
Well, actually, we did. We did. Yeah. Great.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask all of you, is the growler is an expression we don't have in the East. Is that a West Coast expression?
I've never even heard of it, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up right here.
The growler.
Yeah,
I've never heard. The other thing I have noticed is, I want to check you guys on this, is that awesome is dropping out of our vocabulary.
Well, wait, because we have an awesome CSA at Green Man Farm.
we can hold a little bit.
Yeah, we can hang on to it because that's my little plug. So if anybody, you know, if we whetted any appetites with tales of roasted carrots and beets, you know, we'll have them available at Green Man Farm this season.
Yeah. I'm going for some
my pay for having said that is just a good meal tonight.
All right.
Well, I looked it up.
Yeah.
I looked it up. And it says that a growler is a glass, ceramic, or stainless steel jug used to transport draft beer in the United States and Canada, Australia, Brazil, and other countries. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's a jug.
It is a jug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Wow.
It's kind of like how we say frap back
east. I'd say it's awesome. Yeah.
Awesome.
It is awesome.
Totally.
Bodacious, even.
Bodacious. Okay, what's a replacement word for awesome?
You just get used to using a certain word, and you don't even think about it anymore.
Exactly.
And you use it for years, and then it just kind of fades away because something else comes along.
Here's my problem with awesome is, like, it's the most common exchange you could have, like you're in a Starbucks and you order up a latte and they'll say awesome.
Yeah.
Now, a latte is not awesome.
Not awesome.
A latte, even a double split, is not awesome. It's coffee.
Yeah.
Awesome is birth. Awesome is a tsunami.
A comet.
But it's
a comet in the sky.
Let's call it a catastrophe.
It's the American predilection to hyperbole. I'm getting wordy.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I committed that sin.
I'm an English major, and I'm dazzled.
I know. You're going to have that. This is going to be part of my education on the radio.
I
to clean up my language a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Please
clean
do.
It up.
We're on live.
Yeah. It's very challenging.
So, but if you go back to the root of awesome, it comes from awe, creating awe.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't create awe, how could it be awesome?
Right.
Huh?
Exactly.
And, you know, a latte you know, your be best, awesome then.
Your best cup of coffee is a good cup
I
of coffee.
I really don't hold it in awe, though, do you?
No.
Depends on how tired you are in the morning.
Well, there is
what
that.
Difference it makes.
There is that.
But seriously, our Americans are prone to exaggeration,
oh,
right?
Indeed.
Where we say, I'm starving.
Of course.
And the British say, I'm a bit pickish.
Exactly.
I'm a bit pickish.
Right. You know, right. Understatement.
Right.
Yeah. And other people really are starving.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Truly.
Because they don't have vegetables from Green Man Farm.
Oh, here we go again.
See, there you go. That was a free plug for you all.
Okay, that's enough of that.
I was thinking about terminology and expressions. I had a great aunt, Stell, and she was, I think, a librarian by trade. And we never expected. One of her expressions stuck in my mind when I was a little kid was she'd say, once a prophet, twice a pervert. And we never knew.
What?
We never knew where Aunt Stella was going with that, nor did I ask or care to know, but just that was her expression.
That was it. once a prophet, twice a pervert. Right over my head. Interesting.
Yeah. Will Forrester, I know you're a man who appreciates the complexities of a theoretical question. So I'm going to put this to you directly. Can a vegetarian in good conscience eat animal crackers?
Mm. Oh, God.
Well, I would take that a step further. Can a vegan in good conscience apply to work hard on an organic farm? This will actually. I'm being honest here because we have this intern who just arrived who's vegetarian, and I have a doubt that maybe not vegetarians, but that vegans can actually have the stamina to do the hard work on a farm that's required.
Oh,
we'll get back to animal crackers in a minute. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah.
I kind of commandeered the question.
It can hold, I think.
But it might relate, you know.
I don't know. I have a son who's a vegan.
Yeah?
And he works in the parks, the city parks.
Yeah?
He's a strapping young man.
Is he? Okay.
I got enough protein.
He's really healthy.
I got to tell you that I have a vegan story. This happened about a month ago. I was in the roastery. Mm-hmm. And there's this little kid sitting there. He's got big owl-like glasses on. And I walk by, and I go to the freezer that has the eggs in it. And I'm talking to myself, and I walk out, and I have a carton of eggs. And I said, I think I'll get two cartons. And this little kid looks at me. He said, why? And I said, well, I might invite you to breakfast, thinking that was a good retort,
sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And he says, well, I'm vegan. And I said, well, how long have you been a vegan? He said, 20 years. I'm looking at the kid's about 9 years old. His mother's sitting there. And I said, you know, your son told me that he's a vegan. And she said, yes. And I said, and he says that he's been a vegan for 20 years. And she looks and she said, he's a very old soul. This is a Vashon conversation. Yeah, I'm getting out of it. I just got out of it.
That's a Vashon moment.
Didn't they have a special column about him in the Island Child Supplement?
They should have.
Probably teaching his own classes by now.
That's funny.
He's helicoptered so well, he has his own helicopter.
There you go.
Well, talking about old souls and enlightened souls. I had this observation I want to share with you. About 2 weeks ago, the Pope came out with his new encyclical.
Yes,
and it's called the Joy of Love, and I read through it, being a retired Catholic. I went through all 256 pages.
Yeah.
And I think His Holiness went too far when he suggested, among other things, that husbands help their wives with housework.
Oh.
This this is not liberation theology. Nor do I find biblical support for the Pope's assertion in either the New or Old Testament. Now, Will, you're a biblical scholar. Would you back me up on this?
Well, you know, I think we need to hear from Roxy.
I just want to say that you shouldn't even have to declare such a thing. It should just be a known by now.
Well, I hate to tell you, but there's one thing wrong with that statement.
Ah.
That he said that the husband would help with the...
Exactly.
Help the
good point,
wife
Truman,
with
I like
the
that.
Housework.
That's right.
Rather than taking their part in maintaining
I would
home.
Just want to add
so
there
you
is
are bringing
nothing,
the compassion in that I may have
there
missed
you can
here.
See that,
there is nothing,
that's why he's a pope.
There's nothing sexier to a woman than a guy doing the dishes.
Amen.
I'll just tell you that right now. So if you need to know that information,
all these years,
there you have it.
All these years, and I didn't know
and then
that.
The laundry second, okay?
No, but seriously, weren't household tasks or domestic tasks more equitably distributed in a more agrarian society?
Yeah.
You know, it didn't this whole this
separation.
Split, the separation of tasks come about with the Industrial Revolution? There's a thought.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No.
Hunter-gatherers.
Hunter-gatherers, yeah.
Hunter-gatherers had the separation, absolutely.
They did?
Yeah. It's not until you get into agriculture that you get this shared business starting. Yeah, it's true. Okay. Think about it.
Now,
obviously, people had to share in order just to get by. I mean,
exactly.
They had to work together.
Yeah.
And obviously, there was a division of labor.
Yeah.
Remember that show? They had a couple of shows on TV that were specials where families went back in time and they built their log cabin and the women were like,
that was
the guys
fantastic.
Like it? I hate it because all I do is food, like 24/7 and the laundry, and it looked really grueling.
Yeah.
Now, here's my other.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Here's your other observation.
My other theological note. The Dalai Lama blew me away when I found out he allows mosquitoes to suck his blood.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, hello, Dolly.
I
hope this
line.
Practice was pre-Zika.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But the Tibetan Buddhist humorously, I'm reading from an AP report, he humorously lamented that the insects show no indication of appreciation.
That's good.
Don't they? If you just let them. No, I don't want to say that. I was going to get graphic. I better not.
No, we don't want to.
No, no graphic. No.
Well,
it's only a mosquito.
That's true.
Well, what? Yeah. You just smack them is what you're going to
say? No, it's like while you're letting them draw their blood, you kind of squeeze your arm.
Yeah. And holes their little proboscis in there?
Well, no, they explode.
Oh, do they really?
They do?
Oh, gosh, I didn't know that.
I was going to suggest, and far be it from me to suggest anything to the Dalai Lama, but I was going to suggest that he might want to switch to praying mantis.
Yeah.
They seem to be at least spiritually inclined.
Hey, listen.
I'll tell you a story about the Dalai. This is a true story. We had a photographer at time, Eddie Adams, and his specialty was wars and Vietnam and Korea. And when I met him at the time, Life Building, he's a pretty burnt out guy and very moody. And I think he had whatever
PTSD,
awful things happens to you as you go through those conflicts. Anyway, the Dalai Lama was in the building. They were going to do a photo shoot. And the photographer, Alfred Eisenstein, is usually there, wasn't there. And they asked Eddie to do it. And so Eddie went in, and we were sort of all holding our breath because Eddie was difficult in those days. And he came out of the shoot, and I've never seen Eddie Adams so happy. He was just absolutely giggling and stuff. And I said, Eddie, what happened? And he said, well, the Holiness sat down, and I went to get set up my cameras, and he came over and he started tickling me.
Joker.
It was just magical. I mean, it was almost like he was reborn. It was extraordinary.
Oh.
You know, you're giving me ideas here live.
Yeah.
That is a great idea.
Yeah. Great idea.
Well, listen, we're running short, and I want to. We have to talk with Roxy, who is our alternative. Bernie Sanders. Do we have a little bridge going into some?
Oh my gosh! You know what we do, and I'm sorry. I'll get it up here I'll find it while you're talking.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm a remiss in getting.
You know, I just want while he's looking for that. I just wanted to put in a plug for a balanced view of a woman's responsibilities, right out of the Bible. Proverbs 31.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value.
Wow.
All right. Wow.
That goes right into the memory bank.
Yeah. There you go.
Proverbs 31. It goes on and
nice.
On. As you can see, I check each one. Don't worry, Brian. I'll end there. But I check each one where my wife, check, that's my wife, yep, check.
Wow. You are getting a good dinner tonight.
All right, so I'm almost there, Brian. I know what you're looking for here, and you're going to be, here we go. All right. So now you're talking about her being an alternate.
Okay, we're going into a political mode here.
There you go. There you go. There's a little theme song for you. Okay, there you go. That was from the FDR's campaign.
Great.
Oh.
Yep, there you go.
Happy days are here again. Yeah.
So sometime this afternoon, returns are starting to come in from the New York Democratic primary, which will decide the nominee for our party. Our own Roxy Hathaway is representing Vashon as an alternate delegate. First of all, what's an alternate delegate?
Okay, first of all, I'm not a delegate. I'm an alternate. So there's a difference. You know, there's a difference, right?
Oh, you just referred to as alternate.
That's right. The delegate represents the district, and the alternate is the backup person. Uh-huh. So when they asked everybody to show up recently, a lot of people showed up. And well, if you don't show up as delegate, they have to find someone to replace you to go forward. So that was a little confusing. A male has to replace a male. A female has to replace a female. Mm. Everybody gives these 1 minute long speeches, but there could be like up to 20 people in each group speaking.
Okay.
So here's the deal is I didn't go. Because I get a text from someone saying, on our records, it shows that you moved, and so you're in a different district. So you can't be an alternate for the district that we said you were going to be in. So that was that. So then I got all these texts from all the people that went and how chaotic, and some people were there till 9 at night.
Bummer.
They had to bring in food. People were trying to entertain each other to keep going. And that was a little upsetting just to see how disorganized and kind of crazy that system is.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking back at it today, a day after that, that's how it is. And that's why everything has to be changed. And that's really good information. And the great information is a ton of people showed up and stayed and did their due diligence.
All right. Well, I'm gonna suggest for the headline for the Seattle Times tomorrow is Roxy rejected in caucus chaos.
It won't be the first time, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrible. But so look, if Bernie's going to be a contender, the millennials have to turn out the vote, which means they have to vote, and that's something kids usually don't do. Will, as a teacher, you're more in touch with young people than most of us. Do you think the millennials will show up at the polls?
Well,
are kids more political today?
Oh,
questions.
Certainly, but they're also still underage too, right?
18.
Yeah.
I just I know you meet kids in high school age.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Are they talking politics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are. I was at Tyee High School a couple of weeks ago, and I have a plethora of kids who were in Donald Trump's target, a young girl from Somalia who asked me, Mr. Forrester, who are you voting for?
Oh.
And I teased her. I told her Donald Trump, and then I apologized. But no, they're
curious.
I don't have an accurate answer for you, but they're paying attention.
Yeah. What's the first vote you ever cast?
John Anderson, 1980.
Really? I've forgotten about him.
Yeah.
Is he an independent?
I always
John
have...
John Anderson.
He was the independent. He was in between, you know, when Ted Kennedy was running and Carter was running for re-election and Reagan ended up winning, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. How about you, Truman?
It's downhill from there. Oh, sorry.
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't remember... Be perfectly honest. Have to think about that. 21. Oh, you know what? Yeah, I was in the military at the time that I turned 21. And that was before they changed the age to 18, right?
You had to vote for Ike.
Yeah. No. It would have been after that. It must have been Reagan. No, not Reagan. Nixon, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe the Nixon. Mm-hmm.
You know what was interesting? Yeah. You ask. I sit down with a bunch of kids during advisory at this high school in SeaTac, Tyee. It's called Global Connections. I sit down with a few kids. They don't know me. I'm the sub, and we just start talking. And I said, what's your favorite class? It's social studies. I said, oh, what are you studying? The 70s. Oh. So I start telling them how I was arrested with John Kerry and went to Vietnam War protests. And they're just marveling. Somebody who really lived through it. I said, well, how old's your teacher? She's only 28. She's born in 1980. So I realized I'd become this relic.
There you are. Well, Brian, I hate to tell you, but it is 11:30, buddy.
Oh, dear. Yeah,
okay. We are
time speeds by when
time.
You're having fun.
I didn't ask you who you voted for.
It's quite all right. I refuse to say.
So with Clinton's, this was his theme song for his campaign, so we might close out with that.
Oh, that's
huh?
good. Yeah.
So, Brian, we'll see you next week, huh?
Okay.
All right, same time, same station.
Good deal.
Bye-bye, everybody.
All righty. See you then.
I'm Molly Reed on Voice of Vashon.